fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger, unafraid, right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. 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 Radio! Radio! Radio!
Attend a funeral. It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I begin the first hour with a pre-recorded interview with Ole Domegaard. The time difference in Europe and so forth where he resides is such that that was the way to do it. I postponed it from Friday because of so much breaking news. And then during the second hour, I have Danny back to give us an update about his further research for 15 or 20 minutes, and then we'll take callers. So we begin the first hour with my interview with Ole Domegaard.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm extremely pleased to have as my featured guest Ole Domegaard, whom I regard as the leading expert in the world on false flag attacks. Ole has developed his expertise to the extent that he can actually predict where the next fake attack will be held based upon clues left behind. Ole, welcome back to The Raw Deal.
Thank you so much, Stephen. It's a real pleasure to see you again here.
It's just great to see you. And of course, our listeners will only hear you initially, but I make video versions of all of my shows now, and it will subsequently be up at 153news.net or BitChute or both, and they'll have the opportunity to look upon your visage, my friend. You're looking quite handsome today, may I say.
Thank you.
Since you are residing in Europe, Ole, I was particularly interested in how this whole coronavirus phenomenon has been affecting not only your local area, but the broader region of the continent and the UK, and your perception of what's going on in the United States, and how your very general reflections on all of the above.
Oh, big topic. Anyway, I think we did a show about these 39 coordinated attacks that I believe were stopped. Where you were one of the people that helped me go out and spread this warning.
Yes, that was the massive NATO exercise where you called it in advance and appears to have set them into chaos, where they had an emergency meeting of the secretaries of defense of the various nations in Brussels, and they couldn't pull it off because you'd already spelled out what they were about to do.
I want to refer to our earlier interviews or other ones that I've done, because I believe that this is a major piece of the puzzle that is missing now, which can explains a lot of the strange phenomena that we're experiencing, because it was meant as a massive knockout in one go. And I've been contacted since then by an Albanian officer who says that the NATO had also prepared a drill, an earthquake drill, these very dates, from the 21st to 24th of October, with a devastating earthquake experience in Albania and Croatia. So I think that was also in conjunction with 39 coordinated attacks, the knockout of the Rotterdam harbor, meaning that's the main food import channel into the whole of Europe. And so I believe absolute chaos was meant to occur. And I also believe that the military, the World Military Games that took place at the same time from the 18th and onwards, the exact same day as the event 201, the pandemic simulation in New York, that the idea was there was more than 10,000 soldiers, military staff on location in Wuhan, of all places in China, and from more than 103 nations, I believe, all of them United Nations. And so I believe that it's possible that the idea was to create absolute mayhem in Europe with so many horror events, and a total lockdown, martial law, and then they would call back all the soldiers from Wuhan, saying, please come and help all the different nations, more than 100 different nations. But the idea was to bring the virus, or at least claim that the soldiers, without knowing it, was bringing the virus back to their countries, which they did not, because this never happened. So suddenly you had to infect all of these countries just randomly and creating massive chaos in their psyop. Also, when this crisis meeting in Brussels took place, at the very same time, Vice President Mike Pence, I've been informed now, and the Secretary of Defense turned midair. They were on a trip in the Middle East, and they turned midair to go back home for a crisis meeting. So there was something major that had also all the Israeli embassies shut down globally. And so something, I think we managed to solve something absolute major. And then at that crisis meeting, I'm speculating now, but what I think happened was that they thought that, oh my God, we have several hundred thousand, that when I counted the views of all of these interviews I did some 24, 48 hours before, that there was too much spotlight on it. So they had to cancel the operation. And I believe that there was this sensation of panic, and they decided we need to lie low under the radar until this blows over. And then on January the 1st, we activate the virus, but we can't activate all the other chaos that had been planned. So I believe what we have seen is a very soft version of what was planned, and also something that would explain the missing victims and the missing all of that that's not there. The hospitals, the empty hospitals, the weird the methods that are being used, that was meant for a situation where there was absolute chaos and where we did not have time to look at these details, because we would have been knocked out completely and the internet would have been shut down for our safety. It's always our safety. because the alleged terrorists would have used Twitter and Snapchat and Facebook and whatever as a mean of communication. So they would have shut down the internet and say, for your protection, we just need to make a commercial version. We will decide what you get to know, and you will have to pay for it as well. So that would also have given the excuse for global martial law and joining the United or One World Army, combining the U.S. military, the NATO, and the United Nations troops into one, there to control us, not to defend us. And also, they're pushing hard for the One World digital currency. If you noticed in the beginning in China, they were trying to do this whole thing about disinfecting bills because they said the virus was spreading that way. So they've been pushing that one as well. And then they are using now Sweden as an example. You know, look, they didn't lock Sweden down. And yet the numbers are very low. In the beginning, that's what they said there. So what they started talking about the Swedish phenomena. And so what is the only thing that differs Sweden from other countries? It's because it's 99% cashless. So they've been wanting to push that as well. You know, that look at that. It's the cash. So when we look at the New World Order agenda, I mean, this is a wet dream come true on steroids. So what are we looking at? We're looking at a very bizarre situation, I would say. And I'm amazed of how I and millions of other people just voluntarily bend over, pull down our pants to say we surrender, and went into lockdown with no protest, with nothing except high fines. I mean, here I know people that were fined $15,000 for crossing the province border, here the Malaga province into the Cardiff province. $15,000 for crossing without having papers. And we've had all kinds of bizarre, fines being given out, you know, like 300 for driving more than one person in a car. Then they lifted it a little bit. So if you could go, one had to be in the back seat. What's the difference? What's the difference in distance from the back seat and the passenger seat? But no, if you were in the passenger, you would be fine. And,
Are those going to stand up as constitutional? Well, won't those fines, which appear so grotesque and disproportionate, be eventually rescinded?
I don't know. I call it management by fear. You know, it's like, I don't even know. I don't think there's been any decisions taken. It's just that the police just randomly say numbers and freak people out. And we've had this phenomenon as well. I live on the top of a building. And so around 6 or 7 o'clock every night, more or less, during this lockdown, we're in day 77 now, 75, sorry. And we've heard sirens. But I'm standing up on the rooftop and I cannot hear the vehicles move. So it's like they just put on the sirens, and that's part of also the fear-mongering, I believe, the whole psyop of fear.
Uli, so, I have today's Wisconsin State Journal, and there's a small item about Sweden. The country's government defended its response to the pandemic despite the Scandinavian nation now reporting one of the highest mortality rates in the world with 4,125 fatalities, or about 40 deaths per 100,000 people. Now, I thought that was very strange, and the only way it would make sense, if it were true, would be if they deliberately came in to infect a lot of Swedes as a way of showing that not locking down didn't work, when in fact it actually had worked. They just had to create a counter-narrative to try to discount it.
Do you know my reaction to that report?
Yeah.
It's like
rubbish.
Absolute bullshit. Because now they're turning it around. You know, like, but Sweden has a different agenda than other countries. I've noticed that over the years, that Sweden is being used as a test run, beta test run place where they implement different methods and operations, and then they just check out, because the normal Swede is very it takes a lot for him to react. You know, they do not like conflict. They do not like aggression. So it's a perfect country for psychopaths to just have a free run, you know. And so they test things out. And it's not a coincidence that it's there. The first, I think it's the world's first a cashless society. It was also the first country with the chipped passports. Now they're really pushing the chip population thing. And but I've got intel from so many different countries around the world. And the only place that I have reports of people really getting sick from the coronavirus, of what is labeled the coronavirus, is in Sweden. I know people, they say, I've had it. It's a really, really bad flu. And I have a friend who works at an emergency ward, and she says that two of her colleagues that were only in their 30s died from corona. You know, they were perfectly fit and boom, fell over dead. So I don't know. Do you know, like, when you look at the whole thing, I'm sure in your reports you will have exposed it as one massive hoax. I mean, one massive hoax where the numbers have nothing to do with truth. There's not a true number anywhere in this whole thing. And so I would also suggest that to let out a virus for real, instead of just a scare propaganda operation where you can accomplish the exact same thing, you don't even need the virus. You just need a few scary videos and then stand up and start a stampede, you know. You can just start, if you control media, if you control the numbers, you control the narrative. And then if you through Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030, you control the world leaders that have signed that whole agenda, which is exactly what we see are being played out here. So it's like the numbers absolutely not true. And when you look at the hospitals as well, empty. For instance, it makes no sense whatsoever. Here, where I am, the reason why we have not gone from what they call phase one to phase two, which is that we might be able to cross the province border, is because they say there's not enough of hospital beds. But I live in a city. It's not a big city, but we had a brand new hospital that was supposed to open last year. It's standing totally empty just up the road with hundreds of beds, but that nobody is using it. Nobody is really. So if you had a real crisis situation, would you not go and use whatever you had? Would the hospital not talk to each other? What I get instead from so many different countries are that people go to the hospital and they're empty, 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 empty. Even the staff has been called off, you know, and are home. And instead, people are dying in their homes because they don't get treatment for so many other diseases and cancer treatment, operations, you name it. And where it's almost like there's a systematic killing of people in elder people that have other conditions. It's really brutal, so sinister. And this whole thing, I think that's pure evil, that people cannot be with their loved ones when they're at this, the time for their passing. I mean, come on, what the hell is that? I mean, I'm sure that so many would be with their loved ones with the condition, okay, fine, as long as I can stay with my father, brother, sister, daughter, whatever, when she dies. And then afterwards, I will be quarantined for 2 weeks, not a problem. I think 99.5% would say, not a problem, I'll do it. But here, nope. And that is just pure evil, I think, because there's...
it is. That's completely despicable. I was so grateful to you, Ole, back in the beginning when you put me onto the European mortality tables. And I went through, and nation after nation had no spike in coronavirus whatsoever, dramatically undermining the claim that was taking place. We have citizen journalists who have gone to hundreds of hospitals and returned with footage, which has been broadcast, showing the hospitals are deserted. Even the CDC at the end of April, week 17, reported that for the elderly, that the severity was equal to the seasonal flu, and that for children it was much less. And would you believe, just in the last couple of days, the CDC has given an update saying that when they've done their comparative statistics, that the probability of an adult dying is equal to that of being hit by a car. And for children, equivalent to being struck by lightning. You know, this is all grossly exaggerated. And just as you have suggested, we had a state senator from Minnesota who's also Scott Jensen by name, also a physician who was struck that the hospital was telling him for a patient who'd never been tested, he should be listed as COVID-19, that he was reporting the hospitals were being paid $13,000 for every patient they admitted and identified as COVID-19 and $39,000 for every patient they put on a ventilator, implied whether they need it or not. We have another who works in a medical examiner's office reporting that the victims of murders and suicide were being identified as having died from COVID-19. How bad is that?
And also when you see that, I mean, I've interviewed quite a few doctors, among them Dr. Andy Kaufman, who was on London Real. And one of the things they say with the ventilators is that they can kill the people because of the lungs are in such a bad state often in these situations. So when you look at that, and also I would very much like the CDC, it sounds so highly respected, I would call it out as a super criminal organization.
Yeah.
And when you look back at the history, you have to go back to Operation Paperclip in 46 after the Second World War, 45, 46, when 1,600 highly skilled and very, very intelligent Nazi experts in many different areas, so rocket science, intelligence agency work, bioweapons, whatever, was exported through the rat lines, the Vatican rat lines, into the West, into the U.S. mostly, and South America. And it was during these years, 46, 47, up to 49, when NATO was created, when the OSS, with the help of these intelligence officers, like Reinhard Gehlen, who was later part of creating the whole Gladio network, the ghost army of NATO, it was at that time when OSS went into becoming the CIA, and who have since then done so much sinister mayhem in this beautiful world. You had at the same time NASA was created also. I mean, when you look at with Wernher von Braun and the other guys, the more you look into NASA, you will see, oh my God, it's one big propaganda machine with very little truth behind it. That's my opinion. Then you have the World Military Games. That was in Wuhan. That was created at the very same time, 46 or 47, I think it was 47. And when they were in Wuhan, some of the sponsors of these military games was connected to the Clinton Foundation. Can you believe it? So it's the same players. And then we have the CDC that was created at the same time in Atlanta, Georgia, with the help of some of the bioweapon experts from former Nazi Germany. And then when you look at these virus scares, so often the patents are owned by CDC in Atlanta, Georgia. Like the Zika virus, it was patented in 1947. You can buy it online. You can buy the Ebola virus online and so on. And so the owners of the virus are then the ones that says, oh, my God, there's a pandemic over there. And then they come out these numbers and everybody's quoting them. When they are highly, highly suspect, these numbers. Also, when you see how much in bed they are with the vaccine industry that you can't sue, even though your child might be half dead or dead, you can't sue them. And if you get any kind of reimbursement for damages of vaccine, it comes through tax dollars. So you, as a taxpayer, had to pay for your fellow human beings that have been destroyed by these vaccines. None of them are held reliable for what they're doing. So when you look at CDC, oh my God, in my world, it's the Center for Disease, not control, but creation. They are the ones creating it because they're patented. To get a patent, I'm I know I'm an inventor. To get a patent is not easy. You have to show that you have invented, not found, but invented a unique something with multiple parts involved that are so unique that no one else can claim the rights to them, and then they will give the patent to you. You have to go through a long process. You have to pay, and there's lawyers involved and stuff. So to have patents on these viruses, that shows you 100% sure these are in laboratory manufactured, experimented, bizarre stuff that are very bad for humanity.
Oh, so, you're 100% correct. You cannot, for example, patent laws of nature, naturally occurring species. You couldn't patent a rabbit, for example. And this confirms your point. Plus, we have a Nobel Prize winner who said, for a certainty, this virus was geoengineered because its behavior in all different climates, in warm climates, cold, and so forth, is the same, in that if it were a real virus and naturally occurring, that would not be the case. He offered to give back his Nobel Prize if he were proven wrong.
And I mean, when you think about the Nobel Prize, it sounds so great. It sounds so, it's Sweden. It comes from Alfred Nobel, the inventor of dynamite.
Yeah.
So his invention has killed millions and millions and millions and millions of people. So this money is dipped in blood, I would say. And also, they have had people like Henry Kissinger as a peace.
He was given the recipient of Barack Obama as well, before he'd even sent, you know, massive military missions into Africa. Yeah, Kissinger is one of the great mass murderers of all time, Oleg.
So do I respect the Nobel Peace Prize? I don't think so. Not
yeah,
at all.
Yeah, very, very political. By the way, your mention of CDC, among others, of course, Bill Gates is in the center. He's given vast sums of money to the World Health Organization, to the CDC, to the NIH, and even to Imperial College. Oddly large sums, it appears that he was hiring Imperial College faculty through grants to plan this pandemic, and even to plan recurrences, that they're going to use it in waves, that the first is supposed to take out most of these small businesses, and then as they try to regain a foothold, they're going to be hit again. I mean, the sums of money involved here are very disproportionate to academic research, I'll just say. I mean, just astounding. And where, of course, this Neil Ferguson was an epidemiologist who came forward with the apocalyptic model predicting 2.2 million Americans would die, 500,000 Brits if the president didn't shut down the economy. And I got to say, Ole, I mean, Trump's very politically astute. He knew shutting down the economy would take away the two greatest assets he as an incumbent president have in running for re-election, with namely the strength of the economy and the soaring stock market, where both have been at a supremely high level historically, and where now the Democrats are working manfully to try to extend the lockdown to keep the economy from resurging, because even a former Obama advisor says he thinks that the third quarter is going to show dramatic improvement. So it's going to be a V-shaped drop. You know, you're going to go down dramatically but soar back up dramatically just before the election, which means to the extent the Democrats were involved in this, and when it comes to Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and the like, I have no doubt about it. They were all in favor of this. But Hillary has never forgiven the Donald for defeating her in 2016 in spite of all the efforts to rig the election in her favor. She's a vicious, malicious, evil woman. And the idea now that the Democrats want to drag this out, only we have very recent statistics from 10 Republican states and 10 Democrat states, and they each have about equal populations of around a million or 10 million. But the point is that in the Democrat states, the deaths from coronavirus are seven times though in the Republican, because Republicans are trying to get everyone back to work, reopen the economy, and the Democrats are trying to drag it out.
I mean, in my opinion, there's absolutely no excuse for a lockdown to start with. Nothing.
Yeah, the figure was 100 million, by the way, in each of those two 10 states. It was,
yeah. I want to just point out a few things. The Event 201 simulation in New York, I think it's actually Event 21, because if you look at the logo, it's green. No, sorry, it's gray. And it says Event 21. And then there's a round circle in the middle as a planet or a virus that is orange. So it's Event 21 connected to Agenda 21, I would suggest. So, I mean, it's bizarre. What is happening is bizarre. And when you look at someone like Bill Gates, I mean, where did he come from? He comes from a eugenics background. His father was the chief of the Planned Parenthood, Rockefeller Foundation, but very much into eugenics. The virus patent or the virus creation seems to have come from a place called Purbright Institute in England, in Woking outside of London, which was very much into eugenics. And Lord Purbright is one of the Rothschilds. So, and Bill Gates was there less than a year ago, donating $9 million, as far as I know, to that exact institute. It's not a big institute. So what are the chances? I mean, this Bill individual, he hops up everywhere, every single little. He is there when it comes to the test kits, the viruses, he's making billions all over. And also, dude, you know, the whole thing is that we are being manipulated with statistics on a scale that we've never, ever seen before, scared shitless with numbers.
Yes.
And I think it's really wonderful. Like in 2015, there's a YouTube video where Bill Gates is being asked if there's any books that he would recommend for the holidays, you know, like when you're lying on the beach. And one of the books he recommends, I kid you not, How to Lie with Statistics. That is a book
that he recommends. That's his stock in trade, isn't it? How to Lie with Statistics.
And, you know, like this this map that we're being shown on mainstream media all over the place, it comes from the Johns Hopkins Hospital, not some independent World Health Organization. No, from a hospital in the States, Johns Hopkins Hospital. And when you look in the background of that, oh, my God, we're going to the same power network again. And that map that is now being used, I interviewed the creator of that map. His name is John Collin. He used to work for Oracle in Silicon Valley, and he was one of the first people employed there. And do you know who is their first client, Oracle's first client in Silicon Valley? The CIA.
Yeah, surprise, surprise, surprise.
Anyway, he says that these maps are totally unreliable. He was shocked when he saw his map being used, because he was a guy that was the first one to take really boring statistics and numbers and put them in a visual way on a map so that you can suddenly get a visual impression of what was going on, which is great for marketing, for the military, for all kinds of operations, but also for psychological warfare. And he says that this whole thing, when you look at this map, there's all of these numbers like 20 million there and 248,000 there and all of these things that look so scary. All of the markings on the map are red. He said, you can't do that. You should have at least three colors, like green is areas that are okay, yellow is sort of in the risk zone, and red is where it's not good to go. Here, everything is red. And he said, when you look at the numbers, he downloaded the official numbers from the CDC in Atlanta and compared it to that, they should go totally hand in hand. I mean, they're not even close. And he said, how come that a virus like this that should go and spread extremely fast in poor countries with dense population, with bad hygiene, with all of these things, you know, bad water, and so the immune systems are low? No, not at all. You see, totally different. You see the areas where 5G are being rolled out. That's where you see the numbers go up. And he said, one of the chances that New York, central New York, has more than Nigeria, Cambodia, Thailand, Vietnam, India, Botswana. I mean, I don't know how many different countries he put together. New York had more victims than these countries that should have had masses. And then you go to central New York, friend Jace Goodman was one of the first people walking around filming the hospital in Elmhurst, Brooklyn, where there was absolutely no one there. And Jim, do you remember we've done shows about these shoes that appear everywhere? Okay, so one of the first reports from the Elmhurst Hospital in Brooklyn, New York, there's this doctor, apparent doctor, who has a face mask on. She's panicking, freaking out, saying, it's a war zone. We need ventilators. It's horrible. It's horrible. Her name is Dr. Colleen Smith. I remember. Colleen Smith, yeah. So we checked out Dr. Colleen Smith on LinkedIn. Turns out she's not a doctor at all, but she is working with medical simulations. We have these simulations all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And several of these people being interviewed are crisis actors. You can find them. And
Nurses in New York were complaining. They were flying in these nurses from outside and paying them $100 an hour, much more than they were making. And it's because, as you say, they were crisis actors only. They were putting them on television to create panic.
And then you see Colleen, she goes in the hospital and say, look here, all of these corona. And then you see the only thing you see are the feet sticking out of some hospital beds with Nike trainers. I mean, when did you wear Nike trainers in a hospital bed? And then she says, I quote, all of these feet have got corona.
All of these feet.
It's like they're pumping it.
Yeah.
No, they're using these feet as psyops all the time here now. The feet are again here with Nancy. Dear Nancy was really attacking Donald Trump and was talking about that he was stepping around with his feet in mud and they were talking about the shoes again. It's part of the psyop, I think, you know, the back to the fear-mongering mode.
Only the 5G thing is so crucial. It turns out they rolled out 5G in Wuhan about 6 weeks before the coronavirus began there. They had 10,000 active antennae in Wuhan. If you look at a world map, you can see the distribution of 5G and the distribution of coronavirus is virtually overlapping. And, of course, it's well known that among the effects of 5G is to weaken the human immune system. We have a professor, Martin Paul, from Washington State University, who is an expert on 5G, who has done extensive studies of the 8 different ways it harms human persons. And he's saying to roll out 5G on a massive scale without conducting any safety studies is the stupidest idea in the history of the world.
I see 5G as absolute lethal. Yeah, I fear 5G. I really do. And this is, I believe, the reason why they want us in lockdown is because they rolled it out. They're trying to roll it out as fast as possible while we are not watching, especially at nighttime. So here along the coast in southern Spain, they started popping up, you know, some of them disguised as palm trees, some of them as cactuses and stuff. So you don't notice them. In Sweden, I saw one that was camouflaged as a flagpole, you know, with a flag and everything. It looked exactly like that, but it's a 5G station. And 5G is bad news, bad news, bad news. It's a totally different ball game than 2G, 3G, 4G, because we're talking millimeter waves, military waves. And the reason for it is because without 5G, they cannot get smart cities working. And that is where they want to push us into as fast as possible.
Can I get one working, Oli? Without
smart cities. Smart cities.
Oh, smart cities. Smart cities. Yeah. Where everything is interconnected electronically.
That is the plan. That is the plan. Do you know, you will see in Agenda 21 and what they're trying to get people out from the countryside and push them into the cities. Get rid of a lot of us, chop, 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 and then the rest in cities and specific areas for workers, more or less. We sort of like in 1984 with slavery colonies almost, and then you got the elite that can just lie and play with a belly button and be fed, you know, without doing anything. And so, but when you look at how few the people in control, so-called control, really are, I believe globally they're in the thousands. We are billions. So how can they control us? They've been able to control us through psyops and fear for so many years, but now the dark empire is falling apart, I believe, since so many people are starting to pull the curtain, just like Dorothy, and they start to see, my God.
Yeah.
And so the only way that they can win this game is through AI, which only can be activated with 5G. Otherwise, the wireless information transfer is not fast enough. So 5G is the first of...
But only the effects are devastating. We had an early report of firemen who are complaining they had headaches, nausea, nosebleeds. After a 5G antenna was installed next to the firehouse, it got a lot of publicity because firemen are known not to be soft, squishy guys. They're not going to complain if it's not real. They removed the antenna and the symptoms all disappeared. A story I'm reporting on today, where I'm doing these daily updates with Dean Ryan in L.A., Mike Barra in Seattle now for over 2 months, more than 60 reports, is on there having installed 5G in schools during the lockdown. In schools! And only, what is that going to do to the kids? Are they all going to have headaches, nosebleeds, nausea? Is it going to kill a bunch of kids? They're going to have cancer. The deaths from this is going to be staggering.
And that's the plan. You know, this, when you look at, they target weak individuals. They put these things up in schools, hospitals, hospices close to where elderly people are living and so on. I would say as a covert operation of mass slaughter, it's really, really evil. I think it was yesterday or the day before yesterday, they switched on 5G in some of the main cities in Stockholm. But the thing is with this 5G, even though they start out smooth, the more devices that are using 5G, the more it generates radiation. So it will amplify with a number of items or platforms using it. So the more it gets activated, the more the people that upgrade to that level of 5G, the more it will just... And I believe that is also what they're counting on and what they want to call the second wave. The second wave will be 5G symptoms, not a virus, absolutely not a virus. How can they predict the second wave? Now they say the numbers are going down and they've managed to deal with it. And then suddenly they talk about a next wave. It's like, and also what's the face of Mr. Super psychopath Bill Gates, when he's talking about these things, he's smiling. He's almost
gleeful. He's gleeful always.
Yeah. When he talks about millions of people losing their jobs and shutting down, all of that, there's this big smile on his face. And check out Mr. Gates, since he has somehow become like the new world dictator, I mean, like the black messiahs. That so many people are worshiping. My God, please look into his background with Monsanto, with GMOs, with Roundup, with Starbucks, with all kinds of gene manipulated crap meat. Now they're,
he's not a doctor. He's not a scientist. He's not a virologist. He's not an epidemiologist. He's a businessman. Vaccines are his business, and he's a depopulation. Obsessed, fanatic. He wants to reduce the world population dramatically. We have a photograph of him with other elites, including Ted Turner, who's advocated a 95% reduction in the world's population. George Soros, Bill Gates Sr., David Rockefeller. And of course, the presence looming in the background is Henry Kissinger, who has been a monster, a despicable human being, if ever there were one, just as you were implying previously.
I think the people that you just named, if they want to get rid of people, you know, depopulate the world, please start with themselves. feel free to jump off a cliff somewhere. I mean, if they were not with us anymore, the world would be a much better place, because we are looking at some very evil individuals.
Engage vaccine, bring about the very diseases they're supposed to cure in India, which was virtually polio-free somehow. He induced them to vaccinate a vast number, leaving 500,000 children in India paralyzed. When the Indian authorities became concerned, they had the virus tested, and it turned out to have sterility and anti-fertility ingredients, among others. They booted the Gates Foundation out of India. We have the president of Zimbabwe encouraging all African nations to get out of Zimbabwe. The president of Tanzania was kind of stunned by the high number of coronavirus cases from the test kits. So he had them test animals, fruit, motor oil. I guess the motor oil killed the contaminants that were already on the test kits, but the others came back positive. Fruit had the coronavirus only. I mean, this guy gets my medal for smartest guy and smartest political leader on the planet.
Yeah. I applaud him. I applaud people like that. I mean, use your common sense, just like the president of Mexico in the beginning. He said, absolute BS. I'm going to hug as many people as possible. Let's have a good time. You know, instead of the rest of us just bending over and surrendering. Because the thing with psychopaths are, I think, that they are not very courageous people. They need to be in a controlled position to get empowered. When they know that they can control us, they get a kick out of it. But as soon as somebody stands up and say, okay, bring it on, you and me outside, they will back down. They're very spineless individuals, most of them. And this is also the type of operation we're seeing here. They're really targeting the weak ones, and in such a brutal, sinister way. I think it's bizarre. It feels like living in a science fiction movie. I don't know where you live, but here everybody's wearing masks. It's like being in Black Mirror, and they had these face shields as well. You know, like transparent.
It's just absurd. The masks not only accumulate any viruses you might have in your body, but recirculate your oxygen-depleted blood, which means your cells aren't being reoxygenated, which is killing brain cells. I'm predicting by the end of this, we're going to have a drop of 5 IQ points in the United States. But, you know, only I was dumbfounded that Alan Dershowitz, who in the past has been widely regarded as an expert on the Constitution, has said, we do not have the right to resist being vaccinated by the government. And let me ask, has he never heard of the Nuremberg Code, where, you know, Mengele's human experimentation led to the formalization of international law against non-consensual medical experiments where you have to be informed of all the risks? I mean, not only do we have those polio paralyses in India from Vax vaccine, we have the H1N1 vaccine caused brain damage. That was for a virus. We have vaccination going on in Africa that's led to the deaths of lots and lots of people. I mean, Dershowitz is wrong on every account. He never talked about the necessity for informed consent. The British have a guide for medical practitioners that make it explicit that you have to have informed consent, and it has to be based on an explanation of all the pros and cons, all the risks and hazards, as well as the benefits. And otherwise, you're committing a criminal act. Dershowitz said none of that. Not only are we entitled to refuse because we're not being properly informed, but because they present a risk to us, we have the right of self-defense to deny it. Plus, somebody's paying for it. It involves a commercial aspect that turns out to be another legal argument against it, because you're having to consent to what is actually an economic transaction, as you are implying, paid for by the taxpayers, all of which is deleterious to human beings. I mean, it's just outrageous beyond belief. My name for him now is Despicable Dershowitz, Alan Despicable Dershowitz. He has sold his soul.
I would say if the vaccines are so good and so efficient, then how come they need to be mandatory? If you want to pump yourself up and be safe, go for it. Then I would not be a risk for you, since I might be a carrier of the virus. But since you're vaccinated, you're safe. Then pump yourself and all the ones you care about. Just give them, stab them, do whatever you want, but leave me alone. I will take on myself if I want to die from it. And so on. So in Sweden, during the swine flu thing, they ordered, Sweden has a population of between 8 and 9 and 10 million, depending on where you get the numbers from. As far as I know, they ordered 19 million doses. That's double the amount of citizens of Sweden. Why, oh, why, oh, why? If you think that, they're that good, what do you need two for? And then they sold them to third world countries afterwards, making a billion, as far as I know, because they were out of date. You know, it's...
You make an impeccable point, Ole. If the vaccines actually do what they claim they do, then everyone who wants one can get one and be immune. And the rest of us will just suffer because we didn't have the wisdom to take the vaccine. But in fact, it'll turn out the opposite. Those who get the vaccine come down with the virus, and those who do not will be preserved. I'm reminded of the argument. It's very parallel to the non-release of all the documents about the assassination of JFK on the grounds of national security. Because if the official account of this lone demented gunman, this disgruntled Marine getting off three lucky shots, were true, there's no national security aspect to the case. If the vaccines actually work, why should they be mandated? Everyone would want to rush out and have one. And I'm sorry to say, an awful lot of Americans and others in the world will allow themselves to be vaccinated. And with I'm apprehensive with tragic, really damaging, destructive results.
Yeah, I agree. I tell you, if anyone gets close to any of my loved ones with one of these needles, I will fight them like that. In that needle is like a machine gun. I would label it the same level of danger and act likewise. It's not even a normal injection. There are three needles, one with the so-called vaccine, and then you got two extras on the side to generate an electric current that will activate them. This horror with nanotechnology and inserted nanobots and all kinds of horrific things that will destroy humanity as we know it and make us into some kind of a huff hybrid AI bizarre individual. I mean, I don't even know where this is going to take us. But I want to just jump back to the coronavirus. You know, I have a contact on Facebook who is on the Department of Censorship. This individual is one of the people that shot me down, but he's an insider with a good heart. So it's interesting to have someone in that position. He said that internationally on Facebook, there are no posts from funerals, COVID-19 funerals, or memorial things. You know, my grandfather died of it, or my daughter died of corona, or so sad. There's nothing. Zero, zero, and zero. So... But also, I think it's really interesting to study the number of pneumonia because, for instance, mainland China, they have, on a normal year without the coronavirus, 2.8 to 17 million deaths per year of pneumonia. Those numbers have gone down more or less to zero, but the COVID ones have gone up the exact same numbers the other way around.
You know, so relabeling this COVID death. Only if you look at the statistical pattern for the reported COVID deaths, it just happens to model the predicted pattern for deaths from all causes in the United States anyway. In other words, COVID isn't making a difference. You have a peak around 80 years, but the average lifespan in the U.S. is 78.5 years. I mean, it's just what you'd expect if COVID did not make a difference.
And the reason why I even doubt that the virus is out there is because when you look at the structure that the global elite are using, totally compartmentalized, but they need these pyramid structures in all different aspects of life where they can infiltrate. So if you let a virus loose like that cannot be controlled by them, then that could knock out these networks you know, with all of these people that are working for them without really knowing that they're working for them. Do you see what I'm saying? That could really weaken the structure. Yeah. So I think that they're afraid. You know, you never know what these things can do as well with, you know, when nature gets involved and different medical. I mean, you can create some kind of monster virus if you believe in viruses. They don't really. It's out of their reach. They're out of their control. So I think that this is based on a massive psyop with a starting point where there might have been real victims from this thing. Maybe they hit countries like Sweden somewhat extra just to get it going there because of whatever the agenda is. Now the agenda has changed. I mean, these number of deaths, I know no one who knows anyone who's died. Well, that's not true, except the woman with the two nurses.
I know one person only, and he's been an outspoken critic of the government for a very long time, and I am very confident he was specifically targeted. It wasn't circumstantial. He was targeted. That's the only person of whom I know who actually has suffered from coronavirus.
And if you look at Wuhan is not just any city. It is the city that is famous for being rebellious against the Chinese state. So was that just a coincidence that they chose that city of all cities? And also these, the 10,000 base stations that are now activated, they were actually rolled out in February 2019. So that's when they started the whole thing. But there's some good, interesting aspects as well, because if you noticed, I can almost guarantee you that there's been no mass shootings since the corona arrived. That's interesting. My ISIS, they're also on lockdown. So no bombings or anything like that. But what has happened is that people are arming themselves, apparently, like never before. There are more guns sold than ever before. So all of these mass shootings that have been aimed at de-arming the population in America, that is a total failure. Now it's even, there's even more weapons than before all of this mass shooting crap.
A wonderful point, Ole, and I'll just add one more as we conclude our conversation today, which is I believe the result of this is we're going to have about 100 billion more conspiracy theorists right here in the USA because they've lived through the greatest psyop in history. Ole, I can't thank you enough. You are one of my personal heroes, and it's a great pleasure and privilege for me to have you here, my friend. I can't thank you enough.
But it takes on to no one, Jim. So thank you, everyone.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And we'll be right back after this message.
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Please, come on, hi, Karl Marx here. I am all seriousness today, my friends. There is this show you must not listen to. The ultimate remedy with this guy, LB. This guy has figured me out. I hear it on Tuesday, and he is telling the truth. I mean lies. Stay away from this guy. Where's my good hairbrush? Anybody see my mama?
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, as you can all tell, I'm a huge fan of Ole Domegaard. I think he's absolutely sensational, and he's one of the speakers I'm bringing together for a conference I've organized entitled Question Everything 2020 to be held at the Hilton Garden Inn Airport in Austin, Texas, 7 to 8 November 2020. Ole will be among my featured speakers, but I brought together 20 of the best on a whole host of issues, I mean, including Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Charlie Hebdo, Las Vegas, directed energy, Dr. Catherine Horton, who's a particle physicist from Oxford, who's been leading the legal challenge to the use by governments of directed energy weapons, will be another. Nick Kullerstrom, PhD historian of science from the UK, who cracked the London 7-7 subway attack by discovering that the train from Luton that the four young Muslim lads who'd been lured into participating in a drill would have had to take to be at the tube stops at the very same times the drill had them scheduled to explode, where they actually did, and blew it apart. His book, Terror on the Tube, now in its third edition, is the leading published work on the subject. He's also published Chronicles of False Flag Terror, A European Perspective, where he addresses 13 of these. I encourage you to check it out. Go to mixNstream.com. Mix, M-I-X, capital N, stream.com. You discover the options. We've got 200 seats at the hotel for the Saturday-Sunday event. And then we have live streaming as well. And the live streaming for actual being there, the 2 days is $175 or $100 per day. I have to cover the transportation expenses of the speakers and all that, and setting up for the production for the streaming. The pay-per-view turns out to be a major enterprise in and of itself. If you do the pay-per-view, if you subscribe now, you can get the whole thing for $100 both days. $100. It's got a graduated schedule, so by the time you get up to the date of the event, it's up to $225. And one of the benefits, by the way, of signing up now is if for any reason we were unable to conduct the conference, which I do not expect, you'd get a full, complete refund. So I highly recommend, think about it, Question Everything 2020. Check out the speakers, a variety of topics. You find it all laid out in detail. Go to Mix, capital N, stream, Mix, capital N, stream.com. Now, as I mentioned before, I'm bringing back Danny Sirus, who's continued to do his wonderful research on all these events. Just to give a preface, we have cities all over the country imposing curfews, the National Guard being mobilized. Los Angeles mayor asked for the National Guard as the city erupts in violence, injury, and arrest in Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Miami, other cities. Atlanta police arrest dozens amid renewed protests. NYPD arrests more than 100 people. Police drive SUV into crowd, a very odd event. Washington State activates the National Guard for Seattle. I've taken a look at the distribution of these protests, and it's very interesting how much it parallels the distribution of protests after Charlottesville back in 2017, or after the Women's March, very, very similar pattern, where you have the most outspoken, the most protest, what, for all of these events. I mean, not just what's going on now in California, New York, Illinois, Washington, Colorado, Oregon, Massachusetts, primarily states that are and cities that are democratically controlled. Think about it. There are good reasons why that should be the case. Meanwhile, the Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison, who's himself a bit of a radical, I'm kind of astonished he ever made it to that post. He was a deputy chairman of the Democratic Party, but also a supporter of Antifa, has struck a tweet of his in which he just found the book that strikes fear in the heart of Donald Trump, the Antifa Handbook. The Minneapolis police chief says many involved in rioting and looting, not from the city, the St. Paul a police chief, and said all of those they'd apprehended were not from the city. But it turns out they've revised that to 80%. 80% are from the outside. It turns out a poster about this alleged cop who's supposed to have done the deed, Derek M. Shelvin, very odd, which claimed that he had shot an officer, Geronimo Yanez. He's got the same attorney who represented that officer from a killing of what appears to be a Hispanic. He's supposed to have shot an Alaskan Native American. He's supposed to have shot shot an unarmed black man. He's supposed to have shot a Latino. This is just propaganda. This is trying to incite a race war. We have further protests growing outside the White House. Protesters chant Black Lives Matter, no justice, no peace. They're outraged over the deaths of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and other unarmed American African-Americans. They're trying to broaden the scope of all this. Meanwhile, we have multiple reports. George Soros, behind the race war in the U.S., has sabotaged Trump. I'm telling you, it doesn't appear that it's going to work. A very good friend gave me the outline of what Saul Alinsky, the Chicago Satanist Democrat, had said in his rule for radicals. This looks like the playbook they're using. Real or fake murder of a black man. Media hypes blacks to get upset and do-gooder whites too. Cops stand down. That's very important. Cops stand down. Undercover cops from other cities and special FBI agent provocateurs come in with hammers and bus shop windows and light fires, encourage ignorant and easily manipulate blacks to loot and riot. The authorities then make all kinds of threats and tough talk to bring in the National Guard. Eventually, they may do so after all the damage is done. And the good older blacks with no cars who are febrile and have now lost the places they buy food and their drugs, they're just plain screwed. There you have it. It's done over and over again to create massive chaos, to get more taxpayer funding. It's called high-tech, socially driven demo and urban renewal. Very crafty. Meanwhile, we have a participant admitting that he's a paid protester. George Soros, paid protester, thinks he's starting a movement. Very well, they appear to be getting paid to protest, to riot, to be violent, and to destroy property. In addition, now, Trump has designated Antifa a terrorist organization, which I think is highly, highly appropriate. I'm very glad he has done that. Meanwhile, it gives me great pleasure to bring back Danny Suras, who did such good work the last show on Friday. And Danny has updates on a lot of research he's been doing. And after Danny and I talk for 15 minutes or so, I'll open the lines to calls just in case you don't already have the number, 540-352-4452. I repeat, 540-352-4452. Danny, welcome back to The Raw Deal.
Thank you very much, Dr. Fetzer. It's good to be with you. I really enjoyed your interview with Ole. That was quite eye-opening, some of the things that he brought forth on the coronavirus, for sure. We're still seeing, where I'm at, zero cases. The hospitals are empty. A lot of staff laid off. a lot of things I'm seeing on the ground is corresponds with exactly some of the information that he gave during the interview. So that was really good. I hope you post that online so other people can see that.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, of course, it'll be in the show today, and it's already actually up on BitChute under James Fetzer. I have some supporters who've created a new channel on BitChute under my name, James Fetzer. That it's already posted there, but it will also be in, of course, today's show when that's also posted there, which will probably be up later tonight.
Okay, great. I guess what I wanted to bring to your attention is some new evidence that we've uncovered on the famous, I guess we're going to call it the choking video with Derek Chauver, the police officer. Would you like to get started with that this afternoon first? Or
sure. I think I actually even have that video, Danny. You sent it to me. Let me see. Yeah, here. I think this is it. Is it not?
That's one of them. What I want to point out to everybody is what we found out is this whole operation seems to be have done over two or three different takes. We have different video clips spliced together as it they're trying to make it appear as one event, when in fact what we're finding out is they did it over two different time frames, maybe even three different time frames. This video that you have up here, they show getting the suspect out of the car.
I'll start running it, Danny, and you can talk about it.
Okay. You can see the officers come from across the street. They're parked on the corner over there to the left for anybody that sees the video. They get them out of the car. These officers appear to be real officers just by the mannerisms, the way they act, the way they handle their tools and their flashlights and so on. They get them out of the car. A little bit of a struggle. One of the officers actually appears to pull his weapon for a minute and then puts it back in the holster. And then the suspect that we know is George Floyd, which I don't believe that's even his real name, gets out of the car, and then he's cuffed, and he's under control, and they put him on the ground. As this video moves on, Dr. Fetzer, you know, they'll end up walking him across the street, both of them. They control him quite handily. They walk him across the street, and they go to put him in the police car. As they put him in the police car, which we'll see here coming up pretty quick, he appears to fall down to the ground, didn't want to get into the police car, and then the video, for whatever reason, cuts off. And that's the really puzzling part, because these sort of surveillance videos usually run on a 24-hour loop. And I can't figure out why they would cut the video off right when he goes down and they go to put him in the car. They don't want anybody else to see, obviously, what happens after that. So this is one of the key videos that sets up the staging. There's no doubt about it. Is there any way you want to speed through this, or do you want to watch the whole entire?
I can jump forward a bit. I think they bring him over. Here he comes. Here they're bringing him out of the vehicle, Danny. You see him. Go ahead and describe.
Well, he's handcuffed right here. You know, you can see that the officer's acting like an officer. He's got control of his wrists. He is handcuffed. He sits him on the ground. That is proper procedure. You always place a suspect on the ground so they can't get up and run. It's very hard to get up when you're wearing handcuffs. So, you know, this is proper procedure. He pulls a notebook out of his pocket, and he's asking him, you know, your date of birth, who are you, and so on and so forth. He doesn't appear to have an ID, so he's going to run him down. So this part of the video seems the most legit, even though at this point I'm starting to think this is staged as well.
Of course, this guy's a huge guy. He's like 6'5 and 300 pounds. I mean, this is not any ordinary size adult male.
Yeah, I would agree. He is a large guy. I can't really tell how tall he is, but he is definitely a very large man with a large physique for sure. But he's taken his name, his information, and all this. He hands it off to his partner, who's going to go run it down. So this part seems to be legitimate, but where it gets really dicey here, if you want to just speed it up a little bit, is you'll see that they pick him up off the ground, both the officers right here. Here we go. This is the most important part, where they walk him across the street where their car is. Now, I want to keep mention that they drove in the car. If you see those two officers, that is their ride to the scene. They're the arresting officers. That is their prisoner. They put the cuffs on him. So that is there, and there is no other presence of any other officers. It's just them. And if you watch right here is the key spot where they go to open the door to the car on the driver's side. They lean him against the car. There goes the door, and then he falls down, and then there goes the video. And they don't. The reason why the video is cut off, we believe, is they don't want us to see what happens after that. And there'd be no reason for the video to be cut off at that time. It makes no sense. It's a 24-hour surveillance camera.
Go now, here's the second video you gave me, Danny.
And yeah,
this guy has given a talk about how this appears to be faked and he's not actually being subjected to being unable to breathe. Do you want us to hear what he has to say?
No, let's just go through the video. I want to point out from that last scene where those two officers went to put him in the car. What's really interesting about this scene is we believe now that this was done on a different day and a different time. And the reason why we believe that is the position of his body. They went to put him in the car on the driver's side. And then the next scene is this famous cell phone footage with him on the passenger side with the traffic behind them. And that makes no sense how his body went from he was standing, being handcuffed, put in the car, to how he got over on the traffic side. And I'd also like to point out, this is sort of bombshell. There's now four new police officers involved in the scene. The original two officers that arrested him and walked him over to the car have disappeared into thin air. There's no explanation for what happened to them. They just disappeared. And now there's four new police officers leaning on him on the ground. And that makes absolutely no sense. I'd like to draw to everybody's attention, what happened to the original arresting officers we just saw in the video that originally arrested them? Did they simply just walk home? Did they walk off the scene? You know, they disappeared, and then they cut to that cell phone footage where we see, the man known as Derek Chaffer kneeling on him. And that is an anomaly that has not been able to be explained. It makes absolutely zero sense.
Yeah, do you want to see any more of this particular video, Danny?
No, I think we've seen the choking video. Everybody around the world has seen that video. What I did send to you, I don't know if you had a chance to see it, is we found another surveillance video or a cell phone video of a second or a third take of the scene where you can see them setting the body on the ground and setting up to stage the scene from the other angle across the street.
I think this may be it, Danny. Let me play it.
We'll take a short version of this one. This particular protest we have.
Oh, this is about a protest, Danny. You go ahead and talk.
That's not it, sir. But what I can do is I'll describe what's in the video. Is you can see Derek Chaffer and the other three officers kneeling him on the ground. But now the body's even in a different position. His head is forward of the rear wheel now, not after the rear wheel, and there's no bystanders on the sidewalk. There's no traffic. It looks like the street has been cleared. The people that were filming him with the cell phone are not present. The whole stage is set in a different way, and it looks like they're staging the scene before they brought in the actors with the cell phone, again, being what I can tell is a third take to the scene. These officers are not real. They don't act like real officers in their behavior. They look like actors. They don't use their equipment. They don't use their tasers. This is obviously, sir, when you watch the three videos back to back, this is an obvious staged arena, staged scene done by crisis actors. This is not a real story. We don't even believe the guy is dead. We don't believe the officers are dead. We have pictures and video now showing Derek Chaffer, as he's known at the Boston bombing now. We got pictures of him. He looks to be playing a Kraft International guy with the black uniform that we saw them very prominent in the Boston bombing.
Yeah.
And then we have a photograph we haven't verified, but it looks a lot like him at Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
When he was younger, he looks like he played one of the officers that was involved in the Sandy Hook. So obviously he's shown up at other events like this before. The problem is we don't know his first name or his last name. what his real name is. So it's very hard to track somebody down when you don't know their name.
Danny, they're so shameless about doing this, about faking out the American people. And I want to remind the audience, Barack Obama made this possible by nullifying the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, which precluded the use of the same techniques of propaganda and disinformation within the United States as were being used without. By the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, just in time to bring a Sandy Hook, I have a colleague, Scott Bennett, a former Army PSYOPs, an intel officer, who told me they used to discuss regularly whether they were treading on the Smith-Mundt Act or not. But after Obama nullified, they opened the floodgate, Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas. It's simply stunning, simply stunning. And now we have this. Fake death seems to me to be a successor in this sequence.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that, sir. This is fakery at its best. It's obviously was designed. This whole event was designed to get to use this to touch off the crisis, to stoke racism in the country. Have a white officer killing a black suspect. You know, we've seen this many times. They're using this as the crutch to get the whole protest going. The whole thing is a massive distraction in my mind to all the D-class evidence that was coming out, the Biden gaffes, the voter fraud, the people that have been arrested for the mail-in ballot fraud. I mean, it just never ends. You know, the Democrats have lost a record number of black votes in the black community. And I also believe this is an attempt for them somehow to use racism as a weapon to try and get some of those votes back. They're desperate at this point.
Now, Danny, are you up for taking calls? I know you have other points you want to make, but we can intersperse them. We have a call from the District of Criminals. Giuseppe's on the line. Giuseppe, join the conversation.
Hello, fellas. Yeah, these are terrible times that we're going through right now. And I think they're all scripted. Sounds like, am I feeding back or somebody else?
No, we got you, Giuseppe. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Do you fellas remember the first Men in Black movie where they were chasing down aliens and the actor Vincent D'Onofrio, who was in Law and Order and everything, he was an abusive farmer, and he went out to look at an alien that landed, and then all of a sudden the alien grabbed him and put on Vincent D'Onofrio's skin, and he had all kinds of insects buzzing around him, and he was scratching himself, and then the red-haired actress from Saturday Night Live who played the wife said, it didn't seem like Edgar, it seemed like something in an Edgar suit. And that is what's going on with the Democratic Party now. There is no Democratic Party anymore. There's these techno-Bolsheviks, these globalist parasites who have taken over the Democratic Party. The front man, much like Bill Gates, is the front man for this insane mandatory vaccination lie-in agenda. Soros has become the front man for this communist takeover, totalitarian takeover of the United States, the whole Agenda 21 thing. And I thought Ole Domegaard's identification that it's not 201, it's Agenda, it's 21, that totally ties into everything. We are under attack. This is a war, and it is by these globalists who are trying to destroy the United States, which is the last semi-bastion of freedom. We're having, well, I say semi-bastion because so many of our freedoms are being stripped, the right to free speech, by these techno-parasite nerds on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter are censoring left and right. Where's our free speech? You go down the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, you can see how we're 6 degrees away from complete authoritarianism, and it just is infuriating. So I think that we are at war.
Your comments,
oh, no doubt about
always,
it.
Always highly insightful. We have a caller from the 905 area code. Giuseppe, please stay on the line. 905 area code, please give us your name and state and join the conversation. 905.
Hello. No, I'm 773. I'm 773.
All right, go ahead, 773. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, this is Tony from Chicago. I just want to thank your guests for bringing out the truth about that hoax cop murder up in, I even forgot where it is. Oh, yeah, in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I knew from day one that that thing is a hoax. It's just one hoax to cover an even bigger hoax, which is COVID-19, which is a 100% hoax. It doesn't exist, period, okay? And I see what's going on in Chicago, okay? I didn't even realize what was coming down all day. I was out in the yard, and I had the gates locked on the fence, okay? And there's been a little bit of looting right in this neighborhood. I ran out, and the main street, there's been police helicopters all, you know, above crisscrossing the skies. I didn't realize what's going on. I grabbed a couple of my protest signs, and then I decided to just come back here and listen to this show probably after I'll go out. And I just want to protest against this thing. But you don't realize the hoax of this until you're in an epicenter of this. Okay, I've called before, Jim, with the billboards. They've put up multiple more billboards on the Dan Ryan Expressway and in Kennedy. Okay, this Lori Lightfoot, this lesbian dyke, is knee-deep in this operation, okay? The COVID-19 propaganda, and it's all over downtown, okay, on the bus stops. There was a couple of protests last weekend, okay, against the lockdowns. I attended both of them, and what's so unreal, how brainwashed people are. At one of them, only 25 showed up, and at the other one, which was in Grant Park, which was held in defiance of her, okay? There was only about 200-250, and I had 10x4 thick signs, you know, calling this a hoax, going against, you know, this Governor Pritzker, calling him a Talmudist, okay? I was doing a Jewish angle on it, because this is what this is. This is 666 Rothschild Jew, okay? No, and that's what this whole operation is, okay? This is the City of London, and they're coming down on us, and there's nothing wrong with calling a spade a spade. But this whole looting thing that's going on in Chicago right now, it's really overblown. It's not as big as they're trying to pass it off. They actually said there's 1,600 new cases of COVID-19 in Illinois and 61 more deaths, and it's a total fraud. These numbers are just made up. It ain't happening. But what's so...
Yeah, are you aware that the mayor of whom you speak with such affection is having cops go through black neighborhoods and shoot blacks on their own porch with paint guns if they're not going back into their house to, you know, shelter in place? I mean, how bad is that?
I have not heard about that. Now, what's so incredible, I'm going to tell you something, is that how duped these idiots of all races are. In this city, you got the whites. They've got these stupid, I already spoke before on here, these stupid signs on their lawns, but they've got the blacks. They are just dumping in their pants over this. They all think they're going to die. They're running around with these masks. Still are. It subdued somewhat, but at this one protest where there was five blacks that showed up, and, you know, they were very religious. They made good speeches, and they were just, when they saw my sign saying that this is 666, the beast system, and that's what this is. This is what they're implementing. Worldwide beast system out of Jerusalem, okay? It's Orwellian control over mankind by the Jews. And that, I'm sorry, it's a fact, okay? This is what this is. And yeah, all Jews know, but the Jews that count, yes, this is what this is. They're making their move on the world. And these black dudes, they knew this. They agreed with me, okay? And they said, this is a hoax. This is a fraud. I said, you know, well, where's everybody? Where's all your other people, you know? They said, they're all brainwashed. Well, the white people are brainwashed. The black people are brainwashed. I can't believe the kibosh that these people have put on society. It is just unbelievable.
Tony, I have no doubt our next caller is going to agree with you 100%. Paul from California, join the conversation.
Hey, Tony, cool it with the anti-Semitism.
Come on. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I've been dying to go out and go against these people. No, I've got another sign. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm calling a spade a spade.
Tony, Paul is being sarcastic.
Yeah, I know he is. I know he is. Go ahead, Paul. Yeah, I'm going to shut up. Go ahead.
Let Tony go. Go, Tony.
Well, what do you mean? You're under the same. It's worse than California, dude. But you know what? I'm blabbing my mouth off. You know, but I was in Indiana, okay? I can go 11 miles. I'm out of this cesspool, okay? And you got a Republican governor there, okay? He's eased up pretty about 80% to 75% to 80%. But these dupes, and it is lily white there, these dupes are all running in this one lake area I was at. You didn't even know this thing was even happening. But then when I went on the store district, these dupes, and it's all white, they're going around in these stupid masks.
Tony, you got your message across loud and clear. Paul,
yeah, okay.
Pick it up.
You know, it's funny that he went before me, because one of the things I was going to say is, you know, I have tons of respect for Ole Domegaard, no doubt, you know, but he talked about Operation Paperclip. And many hosts on Revolution Radio still on occasion mention Operation Paperclip. I also hear people talking about such things as this is like the brown shirts and this is the Nazis. And just quickly, what I want to say is this, you know, Operation Paperclip has got to be the most massive Nazi failure everywhere, because guess what? I don't see any Nazi governors, Nazi mayors, Nazi heads of various posts in the government. What I do see is a lot of the kind of people that Tony mentioned. So maybe there was a few bad characters that came over here, just like there's bad characters in every society. But we're not suffering from any Nazi tyranny. So I just wanted to burn that into people's brains. But they already know. Most of the people listening to this call know it anyway. The second thing that I'll mention real quickly, just because of what you said, Jim, about the Smith-Mundt Act, which is interesting, and we've all heard it before, and fine, it's a nice little point of reference in history, but I don't think it makes a damn bit of difference at all. These people that are running the show, they have all the money, all the power, the control over press. They can buy and sell politicians. They can put politicians in places of power. They don't care about any law, constitution, Smith-Mundt Act, or anything. And as you well know, Jim, being done the research that you have, the Gulf of Tonkin incident was faked. You know, what about the Smith-Mundt Act there? You know, the moon landings, the Sharon Tate, LaBianca, Charlie Manson murders, and so on, all through the decades. We've been living in a fake world with fake history, and I don't really think the Smith-Mundt Act means anything to anybody. So that's just my
okay. Okay, Brew, go ahead. Come on, join in, Brew.
Well, what the Smith-Mundt Act actually did is it provided immunity in case they started getting caught, such as, because it came out just around the time of Sandy Hook. So when you started identifying using the internet, the different characters and the players and the narratives, and there was actually different photographs taken at different times, you were able to identify this. They had the cooperation of the police department, state police, governors, mayors, even the vice president saying, or whoever saying at the time, I forget the quote, you'll quote it for me, I'm sure, Jim, saying, I know things are going to change, there's something happening with the guns. What's the quote? Who predicted there was going to be a big change with the guns? Right, leading into Sandy Hook? Jim?
Well, Eric Holder said, you know, gave this talk to National Democratic Women's Conference in Washington, D.C. back in 1995, that we got to brainwash the American people to change their attitude toward guns. That may be what you mean, Brew, because it was an agenda. Paul Preston reached out to his contacts in the Obama Department of Education, all of whom confirmed to him it had been a drill, that no children had been harmed, and it was done to promote gun control. Obama signed 23 executive orders to restrict our access to weapons under the Second Amendment on the 16th of January, just 1 month and 2 days after the purported shooting at Sandy Hook.
Yep. But there's also somebody that said something to a reporter or whatever, and they go, well, how do you know that? And he says, I just know.
Oh, you're talking about the conversation with the mayor of Boston on the Greater Boston radio show, where he was a buddy of Joe Biden. And yeah, he told her, she's the daughter of Andy Rooney, that the vice president told him that the gun control would be a done deal by January, and she was dumbfounded and said, how could legislation pass so fast? This was in November. This is in November of December, and talking about the following January, she was in disbelief. You know, that's who you mean. It was coming from Joe Biden, the erstwhile Democratic nominee for president of the United States this year.
Well, in any case, that's what the Smith-Mundt Act, and Paul is correct. All these other things that have happened before, where they're, you know, false stuff, any number of incidents, whether you believe them or not, Manson incident, Gulf of Tonkin, so many different things. They did it, but they did it in a time where we didn't have such access to the information and video and audio and so on like we have on the Internet. So this Smith-Mundt Act actually provides immunity, because now we know today that Connecticut governor and mayors and councils and sheriffs and police departments are all in on it, because look what they did to Wolfgang Halbig with the Connecticut Police Department going all the way down to Florida to confront him, right?
No, no, they sent local detectives with the message from the Connecticut State Police.
Well, there you go. But anyway, not in any case, you get my drift.
It was the equivalent.
Let me do this, and I want to pounce on something real significant. That I went up to Wisconsin yesterday, where they allegedly dropped all these ordinances, and Tony's right, where I actually went into the Walmart. That was the first place I stopped just to get some food and whatever before I went down to the beach, and there's mandatory, the Walmart is, and a lot of these other shops are mandatory, telling them to still wear their masks, even though there is no ordinance for it anymore and whatnot. And as I was in there, like 1 out of 10 people or more were not wearing masks. You even had families, like the mother was wearing a mask, but the daughter wasn't, or the dad wasn't wearing a mask, but the mother and child were. It was just ridiculous. And then I go down to the beach area, Lake Geneva, resort town, and then, like, I see all these people in their shorts and bathing suits, people on the beach playing volleyball and swimming and all this stuff. And then I see these outliers wearing these masks. And I'm like, but yet they're like in their skivvies. They're wearing like tank tops and shorts, but they got a mask on. I'm like, look, what ridiculousness. They act like it's an airborne virus. Like we've been, I don't understand how they could even grasp it, but it's all mind control. They've all been warped. They're all hypochondriacs and just don't, okay. They don't even understand what,
you know,
they're doing.
I want to give Danny a chance to get a couple words here.
Quite
a barrage of comments. Danny, your thoughts.
The whole thing is, I really agree with this. I want to bring up the subject.
Got to speak up, Danny, or something.
Yep, there we go. There was a little background noise there. Go ahead. Yeah, Danny, if you can increase your volume a tad.
Okay, I want to bring up a subject that it's not talked about. And, you know, it's great. You have some incredible callers that come on your show that are wide awake, Dr. Fetzer. Most of them are very, very impressive. But what I wanted to bring up is, you know, your average person cannot do what you can do. They can't run a radio show. You know, they don't have the reach that you have. But one of the things that I've been teaching people how to do is how to be a news forwarder. And any person could do something as simple as put an email list together with 10, 15, 20, 30 people, 50 people. And every time they see one of these videos exposing an event like this, whether it's the cop Derek or, you know, whatever they're exposing, where they see the pallets of bricks being laid out at different locations, it literally just takes a second to take these clips, put them in a hyperlink, and send it to your list. The same on your cell phone. There's SMM texting apps that are free. You can text 20, 30 people, and you can send it out. And again, you don't have to be the expert. You don't have to be the one reviewing the information. All you have to do is be a professional news forwarder and get the word out. And I just think if we all participate in something like that, maybe show our neighbor how to do that. You know, talk to some people in your neighborhood. The key to this whole event, in my opinion, is exposure. We have to expose it. I'm not an elected official. You know, none of us are elected officials. But the more we can get the truth out, the more we can reach and teach people, teach our friends, our neighbors, and show them the evidence that this thing is a hoax. Show them, you know, that this is being done. Who's behind it? I think the exposure route is the way to go. And I would just encourage everybody to use email and text and reach out to everybody they know and constantly drip on them and show them the evidence. That's what I like to say.
Good, 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 good. We got Bill from Australia. Bill, go ahead. Squeeze in a word
As I said at the end of our show, I've looked it up. There was a guy called Eric Garner. Have you talked about him? Because he was a guy that got choked to death by six cops, and like Jim reckons that was real, and it looked real to me. And that's, he said, I can't breathe. And those people were wearing T-shirts before this happened saying, I can't breathe. And I've been on the site for that video, and people are commenting about this on that, saying, so it's definitely connected. That's where they might have got the idea to do this from the I can't breathe from that big black guy got strangled by six cops. And that's the main thing I want to say. You know, I just have to look at that video where it says police on the car, and it reminds me of those things in Warner Brothers and that where you go for the rides and that, you know. It just looks like one of those fake cop things they do when they do a Scooby-Doo or something.
Let me come back to Paul.
Okay, so just quickly on, yeah, the points that Brew was making are good points, you know, and I get that. I mean, if anything, we might be able to call the Smith Munt Act to kind of their stamp of approval, or okay, it's official now. You're being lied to. I mean,
it's a get out of jail free card, Paul. That's what Brew is saying, and I think he got it exactly right.
It legitimizes
what they're doing. It makes it legal.
Yeah, it's beside the point. Leave alone the whole idea of like morality, integrity. You know, the Ten Commandments. You know, but what
Paul,
most people
Paul,
won't
Paul,
do. What
we
most,
get it.
Most
we
people
get it.
Won't do.
We get it. You're not going to go to jail for immorality. You're going to go to jail for illegality.
Okay. Thanks for that clarification. On what the guest mentioned, Danny, about this exposure and awareness, I'm not sure how long you've been awake, Danny, and it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's something that you can say or not say, but what I believe, the point that I'm at now, and I think Tony will recognize this, he's heard me call into Stormfront before, and I think there's other callers that are going to know exactly what I'm thinking. And I think we're way past this idea that we're going to somehow get to some point where enough people are awake and enough people have been exposed and the information is out there that things are going to change, because as long as these people are in power and have the positions they have, it's nothing's going to change. More people are going to be awake. That's the only thing that's going to change. That we have to take from them what it is they have. Okay, we have to physically take it from them. I'm sorry, but there's no political way out. So that's my two cents.
Okay, good. Brew, you want to get back in?
Well, they're physically taking it from you. So, you know, Turnabout's going to have to be fair play at some point. But they got the money, the power, the weapons, the laws, their order. I want to jump on this event 201. I guess Ali Damagard fell into the little easy trap of it's event 21 or agenda 21. Well, they got the two, the world, the one. Well, what this event was, it was they were celebrating. Okay, they had it was their launch. They were celebrating 200 events that the WHO and these medical companies and Bill Gates and the lot of them had all been involved in. 200 different events like Ebola and Zika and swine flu around the world that they've been involved in. Event 201 is going to, they were doing the launch for the 201st event, and which we know what that is now. It's COVID-19. That was the launch party. Because just shortly after that, we had all the crisis coming from China. It was already happening in China at the time, because this happened like last October, November, I believe. So Event 201 was the launch party for what they were going to do to the world, shutting down 189 countries and putting masks on people and locking them down in place with ankle bracelets and you name it. That's what it actually stands for. It was the launch party of the 201st event. They're already talking about the 202nd event, which is going to be the second wave, which we got less now than probably – we got less than 90 days. So it's a countdown now. And their second wave, who knows what they're going to do. Are they going to release something heavy duty? I don't know what – we don't know what's coming. But whatever it is, this was patty cakes what they just did to us. Event 202 – is where they're really going to throw the hammer down.
Let me bring back Giuseppe.
Yes, awesome comments from all the callers, and especially Paul and Brew. I have a – and getting to Danny's issue of how do we wake people up. I think that there has to be such a shock to the system for the average individual who is entrained to believe the media is real and not propagandistic fake news, and trust the medical profession when in reality they're death pushers with these pharmaceuticals and the biologics, which is where the vaccines fall under. Just insane that anybody would take an injection. And then the sad thing is I mentioned this in the past, we're dealing with weaponized mentally ill minorities, right? The blacks, I mean, I know so many decent blacks and I feel sorry for them, but you know, they just go out of their minds every time that a black man is killed. But Mike Tyson, of all the insightful, brilliant commentators on Twitter, he tweeted at 7:48 p.m. on May 28th, 2020. He was forced to take it down, but I have a screen capture of it someone else shared. He tweeted the following: if white people rioted every time a black man killed them, comma, we'd never have any peace, which is exactly right. All the statistics, FBI, Department of Justice, state statistics, show that the overwhelming majority of violent crimes, murders, and rapes are committed by black men and mestizo Indians. It's just a fact. So why is it that any once in a while, and that George Floyd thing was incredibly staged, the more you look at it, as Danny so insightfully has analyzed, and as well as yourself, Professor, as it's fake, and it's just another in this a mind control psyop to blow this country up. And one last thing I'd like to bring up is about the mask, the lunacy of the mask. There was Del Bigtree, awesome show once a week on YouTube Thursdays, The High Wire. He brought up, speaking of masks, a 2019 World Health
have reached the voicemail box of 7209848203.
It's just Mitchell trying to reach somebody who called. Go ahead.
Okay, so Del Bigtree dropped the following quote. Amazing. Speaking of masks, a 2019 World Health Organization study reported the following information, open quotes. 10 randomized controlled trials were included in the meta-analysis, and there were no evidence that face masks are effective in reducing transmission of laboratory-confirmed influenza, which is a virus just like corona. And it's, in fact, the corona that people are so freaked out about is a snippet of RNA, which is even smaller. So it's insane. And then get this. I saw this on Twitter yesterday and watched the clip. Tony the Rat Fauci himself on 60 Minutes was answering a question, and this was his direct quote. You can find the video on Twitter or other places. Open quotes. The Rat says, masks are for show and optics and to, he used air quotes, make people feel better. What the absolute F is going on?
Is it? Well, I think he's coming around. He's actually said recently lockdowns don't work, and we've probably gone too far in that direction. And as you're saying, he was also debunking the use of masks. And, you know, I think he realizes he's under the gun. I think he's doing some penance, Giuseppe. Meanwhile, we got a caller from this. We got a caller from 720. Please give us your name and state, caller.
Our answering machine, Jim.
Was that? Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, Mitchell. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, you know, just really quick, Jim, I had something I wanted to add. I remember I wanted to say it before.
Sure.
I wanted to say it before, but I forgot about what Brew was talking about with the mask. And, you know, it occurs to me, you know, human beings, you know, being creatures of habit, we get sort of used to, you know, things. And I bet you right now there's kind of going to be a weird psychological thing happening, maybe kind of a sort of a twist of a Stockholm syndrome, where people are going to be comfortable with the mask and they're going to be uncomfortable not wearing them. There's going to be a certain percentage that are not going to let go. And I see it here in California. I mean, it's in the 80s and the 90s and people doing the most ridiculous things you can imagine wearing masks, including jogging. I've seen that, including unloading a truck with furniture movers on a hot day, and they're both wearing masks. So it's just this mask thing, they've really done something to us here.
Yeah, I know, it's all bad. It's all bad. Tony, add a few more words. You've covered all the bases I think you wanted to cover. Tony, are you still there?
Oh, yeah, just look at it. Just look at it. I,
I did have some luck calling this situation the implementation of the beast. Okay. Because people know the Bible, the Revelation, and they can feel that this, you know, this is really bad what's happening. So that's one. If you want to try to turn people, call it the implementation of the beast system. And also, plandemic hoax works too. A lot of people know this is a hoax. They just don't have the guts to come out and say it. But when they see people saying it in big letters, they'll respond to you. Anyway, one last thing. I'm going to hang up. You want to just sit down and have a nervous breakdown and bawl your eyes out, okay? Because if everything that just happened the last couple days with this fake murder up in Minneapolis, the reaction, it should have been against what they are doing to us. You understand what I'm saying? Destroying our economy, destroying our world, making us run around with masks on a fake virus. It should have been against that, and that would have had a huge impact. You understand what I'm saying? Against what's being done to this in our country. Instead, it was all about the reaction to their father hoax, and that drives you crazy.
Tony, you made a lot of
and I'm going to hang up.
Very forcefully.
Job,
thank you
job.
For calling, Tony. Thank you.
I'll let you go. Thanks.
Paul, go ahead.
Okay, I'm here.
Tony.
I would love to say something.
Murr, go ahead.
Well, first of all, Dale Bigtree had Alan Dershowitz on his Thursday show about a week and a half ago, and they had a discussion. Actually, Dale mainly just asked him questions, and Dershowitz actually responded pretty thoughtfully and made concessions. And after it was all over, they said it was a debate, but really it was just Dale asking Dershowitz questions. And Dale said, you know, we need to get this guy on the record making those concessions so that we can use them in upcoming court cases.
Bigtree had Alan Dershowitz on.
Good. I don't know why we got the feedback. Murr,
can you hear me?
I'm appreciating what you're saying. Go ahead. What did Dell get out of it?
Oh, let me not move around.
Dell, what did he get out of it?
He got Dershowitz on the record saying that, you know, well, maybe people shouldn't be forcibly vaccinated. And, you know, there might be places where people wouldn't be able, you know, for medical reasons. Or the people who didn't want them certainly wouldn't be the first to get lined
up. What if the vaccines will cause brain damage? What about that?
Exactly. That is what he did.
Or induce autism. Or give you polio.
You're assuming they're safe and effective, which they are not, which you can prove in court.
That's right.
And he was using this 1905 case of some guy who didn't want to take a smallpox shot.
Yeah.
And we just need new information.
Yeah. Yeah. Dershowitz is I'm disgusted with Dershowitz. I'm glad Del Bigtree was getting some concessions out of him. Dershowitz has got to completely rethink vaccines because he's coming across as an ignoramus, a despicable ignoramus.
Yes, he needs to be educated, and you might enjoy watching that on Del Bigtree's YouTube channel, The High Wire. But another thing I wanted to mention was that a friend of mine noticed that there were some installers out of her apartment one morning at 2:00 in the morning. And so
5G.
I went up and asked them what they were doing, and they were putting in 5G at 2:00 in the morning.
Yeah, where was that, Murr?
It's in Colorado.
Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible.
That's
funny. They were installing 5G in schools all over the country during the lockdown. That might have been one of the reasons for having the lockdown in the first place.
Right. Yeah. Makes you wonder.
This 5G is very, very bad. Brew, I think you've been eager to get back in.
Well, is Murr on the line? Murr, are you there?
No, that's...
Oh. Murr is not here. Okay, so Paul, if you ugly, you like that mask, okay? All right, but anyway, hey, Danny and Jim and whatever, we were having a conversation this morning, you know, which made me think as we were talking, it made me go down another level, how that this whole incident with the Floyd deal is pre-canned. It's not like it happened this past week. How long have they had that in the can?
Yeah,
we assume We assume it happened just recently, but it could have happened. They could have filmed that 2 months ago and just had it ready to roll out, just like all so many of these pre-recorded incidents. So it was probably in the can, ready to go when they wanted it to go, and whatever. And, you know,
That fits in with Danny's take that it was done in a couple of different filming sequences at different times. Listen, all your calls have been sensational because Danny is my guest, and we just have a couple minutes. I want to give Danny the opportunity to say a few more words. Danny.
Yeah, your callers are great. I don't know what to say, Dr. Fetzer. I mean, you have a really sharp audience. And, you know, that last comment was really, he nailed it. There's no way to know how long this has been in the can. All the time and date stamps are removed from all the videos. Ah. We do that on purpose so we can't see what's going on.
Danny, if it doesn't have a date time stamp, it's fake. We shouldn't trust it at all. Wouldn't be admissible evidence in court.
Right. We caught him hands down. You know, there's really just two things left as far as I'm concerned. The nucleus of this current crisis right now is this Derek Chaffer. He's a fake character. That is not his name. We know it. He's out of Florida. The background does not fit. I can't run down any of the officers who were there. None of them come up in any known databases. Again, they're all ghosts. The black man known as George Floyd, his background is not coming up clear. We can't find out anything. And until we get their real names, if we ever could get who those actual men are, what the real names are, I think that would unlock this. But in the meantime, we have to do our best to expose, and expose. And I hope everybody listening will do the same.
Good, Danny. Paul, you want to add a few words? Just a few? Giuseppe, you want to add a few words, Giuseppe?
Jim, are 208 callers the only one here yet?
208 still here? Go ahead, 208.
Oh, yeah, I got a couple questions for you. You said about Obama changing the law. What was it, 2012? Is that Smith-Mudd Act?
Yes. The Smith-Mudd Modernization Act of 2012. Yeah, nullified the Smith-Mudd Act that precluded the use of the same techniques of disinformation and propaganda within the United States that were being used without. And as Bruce said, it was a get-out-of-jail card. It was really to legalize, you know, doing all these phony stunts like Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas, that it was legal, that they can't be prosecuted for pulling these stunts because of the nullification of the Smith-Mudd Act.
Okay, and in Idaho, we've got a recall petition going to get rid of our governor.
Good work. Thank you for the call. Everyone who called in was just terrific. I'm talking about Murr, Brew, Giuseppe, Australian Bill, all of you, and Danny, of course. It's just wonderful to have you back, Danny. I expect to have you on the show again in the near future without any doubt. And I thank you all out there for listening.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly,
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world